God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our Christian lives, we talk a lot about journeying. And that's because our life of faith is a journey deeper and deeper into a relationship with God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The iterative process of faith is largely driven by the depth of our own curiosity toward God and how willing we are to explore our faith. And I know I've mentioned to you over the past few sermons the need for stillness in our lives so that we are able to hear the small voice of the Spirit beckoning us to come closer. The busyness of our lives can act as a barrier to hearing God's voice, and it all has always been so. Over the millennia since Abraham and Sarah walked south from their comfortable lives in Ur on the shores of the Persian Sea, pilgrims of faith have been leaving their busy lives and heading out into the desert wilderness to find stillness and to commune with God. You might remember the story of Elisha's tangle with King Ahab and his wife Jezebel that caused him to flee to the desert to escape the wrath of Jezebel. It was there that he encountered an angel of the Lord who provided food for him, and God spoke with him out of the stillness he found there. The Apostle Paul fled to the desert to find a space to process what had happened to him on the road to Damascus, where he encountered Jesus. He needed time away with his thoughts to fully comprehend God's call to him to a changed life. In the second and third centuries after Jesus' ascension, followers of Christ fled to the desert to escape the persecution of the Romans and to explore their faith. For these men and women who went out to the desert to find God, it was a place of new life, not death. It was a place to find oneself in the stillness where there was nothing but your own thoughts, the sound of the wind, the heat of the sun, and the Spirit of God. It was a place where people experienced a closeness with God. It was a place where they learnt a lot about themselves as well, as they endured both physical hardship and spiritual evolution. The early monastics had a saying for eager young monks: "Go to your cell and your cell will teach you everything." The desert for these third century men and women was like the cell of the monastics. It was a place to be still, and a place to learn about God and ourselves. On this first Sunday of Lent, it is fitting that we spend some time reflecting on the journey of our own spiritual lives. Just like our physical life, we are born into faith as an infant, no matter what age we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We need nurturing, teaching, and patience. Saying yes to moving God to the centre of our lives is just the start of a long and incredibly varied life of faith. Jesus, in his human form, was no different to us, but he was more spiritually mature. Despite this, he had to endure the same temptations as we experience. After Jesus was baptized, he was led out into the desert by the Holy Spirit. It was there in the barren and rocky landscape, characterized by Kenneth Leech as waste, darkness, and struggle, that Jesus was to explore his faith and to do battle with the spiritual forces that can ensnare the soul and distort even the most noble of intentions. Just like us, Jesus has to face up to this time of testing. The forces of darkness and disruption that we have called the devil or Satan, or even the evil one, accompanied Jesus for the 40 days and 40 nights that he was out in the desert. He must have weakened as he hungered for food, and his body laboured and cramped, and his mouth dried from a lack of water. In his weakened state, the dark forces began their work. First, they tried to lure Jesus into using his power as the Son of God to accept relief by turning a stone into a loaf of bread. Jesus responded in truth, drawing on the words of the Torah scriptures to negate the temptation. "It is written," he says, "one does not live on bread alone." This first temptation was put before Jesus to satisfy his physical hunger, but his spirit remained strong. Next, the evil one led him to a place where Jesus could survey the world of kingdoms, and he was promised it all if he could only acknowledge the supremacy of the devil. Again, Jesus countered the temptation of ambition with scripture. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Finally, the devil became wise to Jesus' use of scripture to defend himself, and instead cunningly used scripture as a weapon to tempt Jesus to test the power of God to save him. Jesus had no doubt about God, nor any unbelief, so he didn't need to test God. He had the ultimate faith and trust in God his Father. The devil struck out 3 times and so was sent back to the dugout. Just like baseball, it was only for a short time. The next inning was close and he would come out again to face Jesus. As Christians, we are also faced with the temptations of the evil one. For the devil will not let us rest for long. We will be tempted to turn away from sober living and moderation. We will be tempted to put ambition and success ahead of God. And we will also be tempted to boast about our lives and our faith, to be filled with pride rather than living quietly, learning about one's faith and growing strong. As our spiritual journeys continue to unfold, we will grow stronger and more capable of identifying the ways the dark forces of life will try to destabilize us and our families, our church and our spiritual lives. We will also recognize the ways we are able to respond to these temptations, using the same scriptural lessons that Jesus used all those years ago. Scripture, after all, contains all things necessary for our salvation. The final stage in our spiritual maturity is an outward acknowledgement that God is the one true God who yearns to be at the centre of our lives. Paul reminds us this morning in the passage we heard from his letter to the Romans that if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. No one who believes in him will be put to shame, he says. There is strength in our proclamation and confession that our faith in God is strong and well-founded. When we reach this point in life, it becomes natural to want to share our faith and to be examples for our families and for our communities. It's also natural for us to want to share our resources with others, knowing that they come to us as a gift from God. The Israelites endured a lifetime in the desert wilderness, tempted by the very same dark forces as Jesus endured. It was there that they matured spiritually, which enabled them to reach their destiny and to function as a community as God intended. When they finally settled in the promised land and started to reap the benefits of their inheritance, God asked them to give back some of what they produced. It was to be an acknowledgement of the blessings they received from God, who provided all things for them. And we are asked to do the same thing by tithing our income and gifts. For us living here in Brooklyn, we might feel far away from the desert life and from any wilderness. Although we might find the dense urban landscape a wilderness at times. It's not that God can't be found in the busyness of urban ministry and life, for surely God is right there. But we need the peace of the desert to really hear the Spirit of God in our souls. A way we find that space today is by attending spiritual retreats. Taking a retreat is such an important part of our spiritual life. They help us to break the cycle of busyness and to replace it with an environment of stillness and silence, where we can hear that still small voice of God tugging at our hearts. We need the stillness. And we need the silence created by retreats to tend and nurture our souls. Jesus understands the journey of the spiritual life as iterative and that it takes time for us to grow deeper in our relationship with him and with each other. He understands that in baptism we are filled with the Holy Spirit that protects us and guides us to resist the temptations put in our way by the evil one. He understands that when we mature enough to proclaim our faith, we will have the generous hearts that thank God for the inheritance we have in Jesus, his Son. If you sit here this morning feeling inundated with temptations in your life, take heart that you are not alone and you are not failing in your spiritual life. This happens to all of us. We can resist temptation, though, by deepening our knowledge of God through studying Scripture, praying, engaging in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, which we will do soon. We will gain strength to persevere, and if we fail, we can always repent and turn back to the Lord. That is the Lord's promise. We proclaim our faith by serving others, loving our neighbour and striving for peace, justice, and respecting the dignity of every brother and sister we meet. For this is our baptismal covenant, and this is our life. Amen.